Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
The provision for us through Christ, and now as we open the Word again to think about the preservation and the perseverance of the saints, we pray for your help. God, I ask you to help me. I'm not great at preaching and then turning around and teaching. It's hard to get my mind over into the next thing. And so I pray that it will be clear and helpful. I pray that you'll encourage us to draw near to you, to embrace the confession that is ours in Christ, and then to encourage one another as a result of our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, Keith. I don't always do this very well when we start worship, but I just want to say, Gene and Kristen, it's really good to have you guys home. Thanks for joining us this morning. And have you, Gene, built anything? Have you learned how to do anything at work yet?
Yeah.
I cannot remember where I heard this, but just the other day, someone was lauding the skill of the design students at Auburn. Maybe it was Stan, so you, that made me think about you. And so we're glad to have you guys home. It's good to see you. So today we'd like to talk about perseverance. Now, in my prayer, I mentioned preservation. What is the difference between preservation and perseverance? What's the difference between those two words? Who's doing it? Yeah. So preservation would be something that's done to someone, right? Like, if you're going to preserve some preserves, you do something to the fruit, right? If you're going to make some pear preserves, you do something. That's something you do to the fruit. So preservation is something that God works in us. But perseverance is something someone does. In fact, a definition might be that we continue, fight, stay in the fight, stay in the struggle, press after something, go after something. And this is a remaining, to remain steadfast, to be patient and persistent. Now, when we use words like that, patience and persistence and fighting and struggling and straining, what do all those words imply to you about the situation? Effort? Because why? Because of it's hard. Because of opposition. Because it's so effort in the face of opposition. And so one of the things about the Christian life is that it's just hard. I think that bled over some into the introduction this morning in the sermon. I had a friend once who said one time, you know, the Christian life just shouldn't be this hard. Like, I'm tired of all this work. Well, the Christian life is fraught with challenges and obstacles and opposition. Opposition from without, and even opposition from within, isn't there? And so, we want to think about persevering in the faith. You can find this in chapter 17 in this little book. And if you would like to have a copy of this book, we would love to give you one as a gift. If you don't have one, I have a couple here. There's some more back there. And Jonathan will be glad to bring you one. If you hold your hand up if you need one. Somebody need a copy right now? No takers? Okay. So that's on page 36, where we'll be thinking about the perseverance of the saints. I'm not going to like read probably big sections of this to you, but this will give you a place to look. And if you don't have one of these, I would encourage you to pick one up. yesterday or this week I was studying and I was wondering about a particular theological question, and I was able to run to that area in the confession and get some help in terms of people who have thought about that a lot more than I have and more deeply than I have, and some scripture references to wrestle with. And so sometimes when you're thinking, I wonder what the Bible teaches about, there's a good chance that it's in here and that this can be a starting place for you in being able to wrestle with that. So I hope that you've got a copy and that you might use it from time to time to help you think through some of those kinds of questions. So to persevere is to remain steadfast and patient and persistent in the face of opposition, obstacles, and discouragement. I have to confess that when I wrote that definition out of all these different studies and things, I thought, this is going to be a fun class. Lots of discouragement for you to get ready for. I hope it's not like that. You might notice that in the confession, this is called the perseverance of the saints. And so I think that begs the question, who are the saints? Who are we talking about persevering? And the Bible, when we use that language, we're talking about all those who are genuine Christians. Because one of the questions that comes up probably almost immediately when we talk about perseverance is, what about those people that you have known who have been Christians but then denied the faith and walked away from it? And I'm going to be making the argument that those who would walk away from the faith were never in the faith. And so being a genuine Christian and perseverance go hand in hand. So those who are not just those who have made a profession of faith or those who have accepted Christ, but those who have been accepted and embraced by Christ. Not just those who have been involved in doing good things that we might equate with the good works that come as a result of being a Christian. Not just those who are doing good things, but those who are actually being made good by the Holy Spirit. Those who are being sanctified and molded and shaped into the image of Christ. They haven't just turned over a good leaf, but they're being transformed. They're under construction and moving toward Christ. They've been given the precious faith. And so it's not just something superficial and not just an intellectual assent to Christ, but it's those who have professed Christ and who continue in following after Christ. So what does that look like? What does perseverance look like? Steady progress toward a sinless life? True or false? Okay. In this life, moving towards sinlessness. Okay. In this life, becoming sinless. Okay. So there's a good distinction. So steady progress, but not arriving at a point in this life. Perseverance doesn't say that you will reach a state of sinlessness or perfection in this life. A life of never stumbling or wavering in faith or obedience? No. Perseverance does not mean that you never stumble, waver in faith. Perseverance does not mean that you never have questions about who God is, about His Word, about what He's doing, or even sometimes wonder, am I really in the faith? Doesn't mean perfect assurance. And certainly it doesn't mean that you never miss church, although you never should. So there'll be stumblings and even grievous sins. The confession says in the last paragraph, they may fall into grievous sins and continue in them for a time. And so the confession recognizes, we recognize the Bible teaches us that perseverance is a true and real thing, but that it doesn't necessarily mean that we will get to the place in this life of never sinning, stumbling, wavering, or even wobbling some in our faith. So, what is perseverance then? Let's look at two or three texts together, okay? 1 John chapter 5. And if you're into turning and looking at the text, that's okay. We're not going to study out of this text. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Somebody that's reached that, read for us 5, verses 4 and 5. Are you there, Paul? Okay, how about reading that, verses 4 and 5 for me? So, how would you describe perseverance out of that text? It's a result of being born again. But how would you describe, what does it do? To persevere means to persevere in faith and in believing who Jesus is, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. So, what did we sing earlier this morning? We're not saying that God doesn't help us. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. That's preservation. But perseverance wrestles and fights to continue to believe. And even when the evil one or the world or our own faltering hearts maybe suggest to us that the gospel is not true or that Christ is not faithful, we argue and wrestle back in faith. Yes, He is. What the Scripture has taught me about Christ is true. So we persevere in faith. That is, and that as a result overcomes the world. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So there's a picture of perseverance being clinging to the gospel message and the basic truths about the Christian life that we've been taught. So to persevere is to persevere in faith. And I would say that persevering involves spending time in God's Word so that you can gather more ammunition for the battle when your faith is assaulted, so that you can bring truth to bear on those assaults, so that you can persevere in believing the truth. You need to have lots of truth available to you so that you can persevere in believing it. Does that make sense? Okay. 1 John chapter 1, if you're still over there in 1 John, right? So just move back to chapter 1. Somebody want to read verses 7 through 9 for me? 1 John chapter 1. Okay, Brian. Yes. Okay, so what do you see going on there in the believer's life? This saint who's described in this text is persevering in something. What are they persevering in? Fellowship with Christ as a result of having... What did they do? They walked in the light. They confess and they Fellowship with one another. Yeah, yeah. And they repent. Yeah. So the thing that breaks our fellowship, we walk in the light. The thing that messes up the light is our sin. The thing that messes up our fellowship with God and with each other is our sin. And so, as Brian mentioned in his reading from Genesis 25 this morning, the Christian life is a lifelong race of repentance. And so to persevere means to persevere in repentance. It doesn't get to the place where we go, gosh, I'm just tired of dealing with this all the time. So I'm going to not do it now. I'm going to quit repenting. You know you're in trouble when you get to the place where you no longer want to repent. In fact, the mark of a growing Christian is one who has persevered in repentance so that they're becoming more sensitive to sin and quicker to repent when they understand that they've sinned, right? Okay. So it's to persevere to perseverance is to persevere in faith. It's to persevere in repentance. It's also, well, go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. Blake? Okay, so perseverance means to persevere in love. Now, give me the qualifying or the qualifications, I guess, in this text for who we are to love. Well, which brothers, Claire? Which qualified, because that's not easy. Which brothers are we to love? Yeah. That's very hopeful for me, because a lot of times I'm not very lovable, right? But you're commanded to persevere in love for me, as difficult as I am to love sometimes. Obviously, that's not a license to go around being unlovable and say, nah, you have to love me anyway. But don't we have a tendency in life to love the lovely, the easily loved? And yeah, we do have affinities for some people. You know, engineers kind of connect to engineers, and graphic artists kind of connect to artsy people, graphic-y people. You know, and... I'm sorry? Creative, thank you. Creative people. Yeah. I'm going to stop before I get myself in more trouble. But you know what I'm saying. You have natural affinities, and you can't be in a deep, personal, life-changing relationship with everybody on the earth. But it's a huge part of the Christian life to see how your heart is being shaped by Christ to embrace people who are not like you and not easily loved. That, and to persevere in it. To say, okay, that's a chief mark of belonging to Jesus. And so, I'm going to persevere. So, perseverance of the saints is to persevere in faith, to keep gathering truth to yourself so that you can persevere in it and keep using that as a protection. It's to persevere in repentance, because we know that God calls us to hate sin and to love righteousness. And then it's to persevere in love, because that's a picture of who Christ is, because in mercy He loved me when I was the most unlovable and the most unlovely, right? Okay. So that's a starting picture of perseverance. Oh, I got more. You do this and more comes up on the sheet. Colossians 1:23. Let me read this for you. Just listen to the text, and I'm going to ask you. You're probably picking up on a pattern. I'll ask you what's to persevere in. So Colossians 1:23 says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Colossians 1:23, if you want to be able to look at it. So what do you hear we're persevering in there? Hope. Not shifting from the hope of the gospel. And so, oh man, this is not the hope that says, oh, I hope Clemson wins Monday. Or, oh, I hope Alabama wins Monday. It's not that hope where you don't really know what's going to happen. Alabama fans would say, well, I know what's going to happen. It's obvious. Alabama's going to win. But I would say, no, you don't. You don't know for sure. Or I hope that contract comes through. Or I hope I get this job. Or I hope. Those are all kind of wishful thinking kinds of things. This is a noun. The hope of the gospel. And so we persevere in all that the gospel promises to produce, and we believe that Christ, who has begun a good work in us, is going to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. That we are going to continue, that there is hope to continue making progress in faith and joy and love and those kinds of things, that we can keep repenting, that we can, you know, move forward. All right? And then also, so faith, persevering in faith, in repentance, in love, and in hope. But also, Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So we would say that perseverance is to persevere in joy. To persevere in joy. And to press after it. What's the little book that Piper wrote when you're not happy? When I don't desire God. there's another book out there called I Just Want to Be Happy. That's the one I was thinking about. That's different. So when I don't desire God, I'm grateful for the guy who, you know, keeps talking about the joy in Christ and being satisfied in Christ all over the place, who admits the fact that there are sometimes days when I just don't. But perseverance of the saints says I'm going to persevere to fight for that joy and to battle through some things from time to time, and you will find it today. You will wake up with it tomorrow that you don't feel like being, that you don't feel joyful to start with, and you're going to be tempted to think that some things that are not very joyful are the things that will make you happy. Does that make sense? Yeah, our persevering means we're going to persevere in the joy that Christ supplies for us in the ways that He supplies it. So this guy discovered that his joy was not in the possessions that he had or in his bank account. And so he set all those things aside in order to take hold of the joy that is Christ. Perseverance has often been accused to be a license to sin. I said perseverance, didn't I? Yeah. I thought I said preservation. Perseverance has been accused of that, but it's really the opposite. What kinds of things have you heard in these things? Persevere in love, persevere in joy, persevere in the hope of the gospel, persevere in faith, persevere in repentance. What kinds of encouragements have you found there to sin? Any? I mean, has there been anything there that not only have we said stay out of sin and put it away, but we've said look for joy in the right places? And so perseverance is really very much the opposite of thinking, well, I'm secure in Christ, so it doesn't matter how I live. It really says, because I'm secure, maybe you could go back into Hebrews chapter 10 now and say, since we have this confidence, and since we have this great high priest, how could I ignore so great a salvation? How could I not persevere? How could I not press after Joy, hope, love, faith, repentance, and what's the other one? Maybe I said all five. Joy, love, faith, hope, repentance. Is that five? I can barely count by this time of the day, you know? Why would you say this is a big deal? I want to try to get you involved a little bit with me, okay? What? Yes, Blake? Yeah. Yeah, bingo. Thank you. Other reasons, perseverance. You sense perseverance might be really important. Big deal. Why we need. Yeah. What else? Any other reasons perseverance is important? Any others? Clark? So why try? Yeah. May I just want to add? Those are all really helpful things to think about. You know, and I part of what we started with is that, you know, the Christian life is hard. And I think that if I'd really been willing to be helpful to my friend who said, you know, the Christian life just shouldn't be this hard, I think that person really needed a rebuke. To say, you're not thinking about the Christian life in the right way. The idea that this is never supposed to be challenging is broken. And a lot of folks are selling the idea, again, about Christianity around the world that you embrace Christ and all your problems go away. If anything, your problems increase, don't they? I think you start running against the flow, you start battling your own flesh, you start striving for something that's not natural in prayer and holiness and all those kinds of things. So it takes a lot of perseverance to go through those things. And so it becomes very important so that we can say with Paul in his letter to Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. So we are persevering unto salvation. And our ultimate salvation calls for perseverance. Here are a couple of foundations. I want us to do this really quickly, and we're going to kind of start tying this together and winding up. But the foundation for perseverance, why I can be confident, why can I think that I can persevere? Well, first of all, because of the unchanging decree of God. Romans 8:28 and the following verses. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, I'll say that in a minute. God's decrees are not changed or altered, and they're not thwarted by men. So the decree of God, when God chooses to save us, then He can do that effectively. We can also do it because of the effective work of Christ. We've been talking about that in Hebrews. I'm not going to belabor that point. I think you understand. But I do want to remind you, particularly, say, in John chapter 17, when Jesus prayed and He said, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to You. Holy Father, keep them in Your name, which You have given Me, that they may be one even as We are one. I do not ask that You take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil one." So Jesus recognizes that there is in this world followers of His, believers, saints of God, are going to face all kinds of difficulty and challenge and tribulation. And He's praying that God will keep us, or that we will persevere. And so because of the work of Christ, the decree of God, the prayers of Christ, and then the work of the Holy Spirit who seals the believer. 2 Corinthians 1:22, that God puts His seal on us and has given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Let's talk about what a seal is for just a minute. Just off the top of your head, when you hear that the Holy Spirit seals us as believers, what does that mean? What does that mean He's doing, you think? Any ideas? Like a kingly stamp, okay? Let's flesh that out a little bit. If there's a kingly stamp on something, what does that then communicate? Ownership. This belongs to me. What else? Authority. There's an authority behind the stamp because of whose stamp it is. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, stamp. Yeah, but something that can't be undone. It's a promise, an unbreakable promise. Anything else? If you want to jot these down, those are in God's providence, those are the three main things that I wanted to communicate to you. The stamp authenticates something as genuine, John 6:27. It protects it from tampering, can't be undone, Matthew 27:66. And also it marks as one's possession. So it marks ownership, Revelation 7:3-4. I also think about how Christ is the only one who can unroll a will or a testament. You know, so we're talking, if you think about in terms of a will that's stamped and closed up, Christ is the one who has the authority to unroll it and dispense its blessings. And that's not exactly the same thing, but I think it's very close. I think it ties. So, anyway, what's our responsibility then? And what encouragements can I give you? Give me just 1 second. I'm trying to kind of summarize some stuff. And I want to do this in a positive way. Notice, I am going to read from this. The last chapter says, "They may fall into grievous sins and continue in them for a time due to the temptation of Satan and the world, the strength of corruption remaining in them, and the neglect of the means of their preservation. In so doing, they incur God's displeasure and grieve His Holy Spirit. Their graces and comforts become impaired, Their hearts are hardened and their consciences wounded. They hurt and scandalize others and bring temporary judgments on themselves. Nevertheless, they will renew their repentance and be preserved through faith in Christ Jesus to the end. Now, this last paragraph recognizes that there is oftentimes a struggle, days when we sin and falter, when we do what, you know, what we want to do and ought to do. It doesn't mean that we're not Christians anymore, and that's why perseverance becomes so important. And so I want to cast these in a positive light to encourage you and notice that how perseverance is worth doing. It's an effort worth making because it pleases God. It pleases God for us to strive after obedience. If you haven't listened to Stan's Bible study last week on good works, I want to encourage you to go and find that. It was good and helpful. It was really, really good. So if you haven't heard it yet, go back and look for that on the Bible study gig on the website, okay? Because even though my efforts at obedience and my efforts to serve God are still tainted with sin, God is pleased. And so I enjoy that sense that God is pleased with something, and so I want to strive after obedience and I want to persevere, even though my efforts are faltering and never perfect. I enjoy the comfort that comes from availing myself of the means of grace. Now, the negative way thing here is that when you don't avail yourself of the means of grace, then your comfort is impaired. When I read the Scriptures, when I worship together with God's people, when I pray, when I'm singing, I gain comforts and encouragements and helps from that. I bought a new radio for my truck, and I feel like it's absolutely 100% justified because now I can listen to music that's about Jesus. And so this morning I was driving in listening to Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and it's so much better than sports radio. You know, used to I would feel all spiritual because on Sunday morning I would drive all the way to church with no radio on. I'm not going to have that interfering with my holy thoughts, you know. But it really is true. If I drive to work or to the church building listening to ESPN on the radio, then my thoughts are moved towards the fact that Auburn played basketball very poorly last night, and I'm disappointed by that, and, you know, on and on and on. Does you get the point? So when we avail ourselves, when we persevere in the means of grace that God provided for us, the Scriptures, prayer, worship, fellowship, and those kinds of things, it adds comfort. It supplies help for us. And those are good and positive things to enjoy. When I persevere, my heart is softened towards the things of God. My conscience is cleared. I gain the benefits of a clear conscience again and again. I find when I'm resting in Christ, I gain those things. But if I ignore them, my heart is hardened and my conscience is wounded. And hopefully, Lord willing, when I persevere in faithfulness to the things of God, my family is helped, encouraged. The church is helped and encouraged in my ministry. And people around me are encouraged in Christ. There is a negative effect on people around us when we don't persevere. Okay? There is a negative. Our sin affects those who are around us. Don't ever pretend that you sin in a vacuum. When David didn't go to war like he ought, engaged on Bathsheba like he not ought to, and he called Bathsheba to himself, he sinned, and many people paid the price, right? And so our sin against God has far-reaching negative effects. And then there are temporal judgments as well. When I don't persevere, you know, I just, there are consequences that come as a result of that. And let's just use a really far out example. If I go out and buy a case of beer and drink it all and jump in my truck and drive down the highway at 100 miles an hour, and there, it's, I'm most likely going to, at least at the very least, get a ticket, but then probably lose my license, go to jail, or maybe get killed because I, or, and maybe kill somebody else. So that's, I've never been drunk. I don't endorse or encourage that. So I'm not trying to say that's something I might run and do. I'm trying to use a far out there example, okay? Point made? Got it? All right. With somebody I did, somebody else, I was in the car that somebody did that once. It was amazing. It didn't feel that fast because it was a long straight road. Anyway, it was long and straight. A faithful commentator says, persevering Christians recognize that the warnings of the Bible are meant for them to obey and that Christ gave His life to transform their lives. Perseverance is thus a call to faithfulness, but it is also an affirmation that somehow, in spite of our failures, God will bring His committed people through the difficulties and concerns of life to their promised destiny in Christ. Amen. All right. Oh, I'm over. You don't have time for questions. I'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock, and we can unpack some of these things some more, and we will pray together. Okay? But in the meantime, let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Thank You, Father, for Your kindness to us today through Your Word. Grant to us grace and enable us by Your Holy Spirit to be persevering followers of Jesus. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Analu Drive.